everybody. Welcome back to Afros and Combos.
Hey, it's Kika.
Drea here.
Hey, y'all. It's Camille.
And it's Cookie. As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Combos on IG. Email us at afrosandcombos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandcombos.com. They started looking at me and I realized I was talking fast again. So I slowed it down at the end. Y'all catch, you catch the other parts on the other episodes. It's fine. All right. How's everybody doing?
I'm all right.
Great.
Doing good.
That is wonderful because it is time for Trending Combos.
We always sound so fake and excited.
Because you are. It's fine.
because we always record in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. All right. Well, I'm going to kick things off and get started on the conversation around one Naomi Osaka. Now listen. Sis says she ain't here for the bullshit. Now, Naomi has pulled out of the French Open.
The whole tournament.
Where Kika, didn't you say she was like the favorite to win? I mean, she's like the top female athlete.
Yeah, I think she's number two ranked in the like overall. But yeah, she was favored to win it.
So favored to win, and baby girl said, "No, not today." So she cited mental health reasons. She actually said that she's been suffering bouts of depression ever since the U.S. Open in 2018. Yeah. And yeah, she's, I guess before she pulled out, she had declined to do like the interviews and the press conferences and all of that stuff that comes along with the the tennis tournaments. So yes, she, I think she got fined too and then pulled out.
Yep.
And so she said that skipping the news conference is kind of, you know, it helps her anxiety. I guess she has social anxiety around doing the press conferences and all of that. And not speaking in front of press helps her not have to deal with anxiety. I mean, she is, I mean, yes, the athletes are supposed to do press, right? Like, I think that's in, you know, when you sign up for the tournament or however you enter into a tournament. I don't know how you do that. I ain't at that level. I'm just a little regular person. But when you enter into these tournaments, you're supposed to be doing media. And so, yeah, I mean, but at the end of the day, what it is that she does is play tennis, right? And the question is her not participating in media, you know, impacting her as a tennis player? And I think the answer is no. But you know, what did y'all think about that when y'all saw that?
Well, I was a bit confused because I saw she was fine. One day I saw she was fine $15,000 because she said she wasn't doing no interviews. Then the next day I read like the little 3-page statement that she put out basically saying she wanted it to be about the game and it's become such a distraction. The conversation is about her. So it's like best for her to just withdraw from the tournament altogether. Then I saw everyone kind of like posting in support of her, like taking time out for mental health. And I was confused because I was like, I didn't think that's why she withdrew. I thought she withdrew because the narrative had become about her, but it was supposed to be about the game. So I don't know if I fully understand what's going on.
So I didn't read her full statement. I did see the part where she was kind of like not really apologizing, but like also like making the story about, I don't want it to be about me and I've become a distraction, right? But I do think that at least how I've read how reporters have interpreted her statement, and again, I did not read her statement itself, but how reporters were interpreting her statement was that she had withdrew for mental health reasons and then was saying that alongside of that, she was apologetic that in doing that, it's become a sideshow and not about the game. That was my understanding of it.
Because in her statement, she says that she talks about like the progression, how she first reached out to like, I don't remember who it was. And then, but I thought the reach out was about not doing press. I didn't think the reach out was about withdrawing from the tournament. And then after the reach out and the decision not to do press, then it became a thing. And then she was saying, like, I don't want this to be a whole thing. It's just best if I just completely withdraw from the tournament. So I guess maybe, I don't know, I interpreted the statement differently.
Yeah, I mean, and that might be true, but either way, I mean, both outcomes are, like, they're slightly different, but they're the same, right? Like, in that the crux of the reason as to why she ain't in it is because of her mental health. So if they were going to keep, like, going, because I don't think she would have done media. Like, I don't think throughout the entire tournament, I don't think she was going to do media. So, yeah. And the reason why she wasn't going to do media was because of her mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is still going to be a sideshow along there. And so if you're pulling out because I don't want to do media because of my mental health and there's going to be a distraction, ultimately still the crux of the reason is her mental health, right?
No, I mean, I disagree, but okay.
So what, how, why?
The crux of it is your issue, not her mental health. Like, her mental health was the defining point for why she is not doing press. But she is the defining point for why she's pulling out is your reaction, not her mental health.
I think they're differences with a very small distinction, but okay.
I mean, we can agree to disagree. That's okay. Fine.
As you guys always do. So now I will give my opinion. All right. Yeah, I was surprised that she did that, but I thought it was great because I know that athletes often talk about just the pressures that are there of having to do post-game interviews, especially when they have had a major loss in the game. I mean, recent as Serena Williams literally breaking down during one of her press moments after that really, really devastating loss for her. And I've always kind of questioned those press moments. I understand the purpose of it, but I feel like it hasn't really given room for athletes to just kind of have a moment after they've had this emotional roller coaster of an experience after a game. So I was just like, wow, I didn't even think about an aspect of boycotting press until she said that. And I was like, yo, that's huge. Like, and that's a statement in itself, because other athletes that started coming out in support of her spoke of how they spoke similar sentiments of how these organizations really don't think about your mental health when it comes to press and the pressures and the emotions and all that. And reading her statement and about her social anxiety and her introversion, I was like, that seems very overwhelming to have to put on if that's, you have high anxiety in situations like that. I thought it was amazing. When she pulled out, I was like, whoa, like, this escalated quick, fast. And honestly, when I read her second statement, it felt like she just got to a breaking point. Like, I feel like she's been stressed out, she's been overwhelmed, and the situation just kind of tipped her over, and she probably did need to take a break just for her own sake and just rest, because I think just the overwhelmingness of it pushed her over. But in terms of her, like, saying, hey, this is important for me, I'm gonna draw this boundary for myself, I thought that was huge. And it goes to something that you've said a couple times, Cookie, before, of just this next generation and their unwillingness to go according to the status quo and to do what's best for their health in ways that past generations haven't. Mm-hmm. They ain't gonna be afraid to take their PTO time. So, shout out to her. That's huge. And it continues the conversation of mental health, specifically for athletes who really don't get to often have space to talk about real issues outside of just being a sports image.
Yeah. I agree with you, Kika. Like, I was really shocked that she did that, and even more shocked at the fact that she withdrew from the competition. Because especially as athletes, the main motivation is, like, you're pressured to do this because of money, because of financial reasons, because of who your sponsors because of the deals that you have. And she chose to say, no, I'm not about to do that. I've been in and out of depression for years now, and this is too much. And we don't see that. I actually read this Instagram post, this meme. It was just like, if you ask somebody who's on vacation in Europe, they were like, okay, I'll be on vacation till September. It was like out of office notice. That's what it said. I'll be on camping until September. I'll see you then. And it said in America, oh, I have surgery, but it should be done in 2 hours. You can call me on my cell anytime. And I was like, that is the mindset we have in our culture. And I really agree. Mm-hmm. Like Cookie said in that previous episode, I think this next generation, well, I think corporate is going to get tired of people leaving and quitting their jobs because we care about ourselves and our mental health more so than the money that we're making, because we realize what's more important. So yeah, kudos to Naomi. Get your rest, girl.
And I mean, to that, like, Coco Gauff, she's 17-year-old tennis player, black girl. She got interviewed. I think she's at the French Open, but she got interviewed, and one of the interviewers in the press basically was just like, you know, you often get compared to the Williams sisters. Is it because you're black? And then they added all these other stuff, and she responded and basically was just like, you know, she responded in an eloquent manner, but a lot of people were like, we understand why Naomi had an issue with press, because you're getting thrown questions like that this is a 17-year-old girl. Like, why is that the way that you chose to phrase the question, or even ask that question? Or the infamous video of the, was it Venus Williams getting interviewed, and the interview is like basically trying to place seeds of doubt, and her dad had to shut the interview down. It was like, we talked about this, I told you not to ask her those questions. So imagine if her dad wasn't in her presence, how further that questioning would have had and gone on. So I think there, even watching other interviews and of sports, like athletes getting asked questions, and it's like, what is the point of that? It's like you're trying to incite something and get some, you know, reaction out of this athlete. But
I was gonna say, and those are just mild examples. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, because Serena was asked one time, remember, it was like 2018, it was sometime fairly recent, like not super recent but fairly recent, where a reporter was like, I've been waiting a decade to ask you this question. And apparently he asked something along the lines of, were you intimidated by Maria Sharapova?
Sharapova's
stunning looks, or pinup beauty, whatever it was. Like, were you intimidated by her looks? Like, there's another one where a female tennis player was asked to twirl, like, show us your outfit. Like, this girl just won the whole, like, what? And even Naomi, like, when her first, like, big win was all about Serena, like, in the press conference. Oh, so it's like, I mean, women get treated, like, the women athletes that I've seen, and, you know, the sexualization of them as well. And it's just like, they want to swing a little racquetball. That's all they won't do. So,
mm-hmm. Shout out to her. I support it. And I hope she gets the rest that she needs.
Okay, well, I saw clarity, but I didn't have the opportunity to really give my opinion.
That's true.
So,
here she go.
Right. I disagree.
I don't want to just say I disagree. I mean, I definitely disagree with some points. I think that, yes, some questions are problematic, but at the same time, yes, you are. At the same time, you're not just here to play a sport. This isn't intramural sports. You're a professional athlete, and this is part of your job. So, I mean, it may be a part of your job that clashes with how you are made up as a person. And yes, that's difficult and that's challenging to navigate. And yes, if questions are inappropriate or overly sexualizing players, if the questions aren't about the game and your performance, and then yes, I get that line of questioning is problematic, but I just don't really see it being okay for you to just be like, I'm gonna do this part of my job, but I'm not gonna do the other part. I mean, like, I get it. Now, I understand if you saying, right now I ain't got that in me, right? You wanna find me 15K, here go your change. I'm gonna continue doing what I do. Do you, sis. If that's the time you need to take, do you. But I don't think it's unreasonable for that to be expected of you. Like, that's part of your job.
Her argument may be, should it be part of my job?
Yes. Yes. It should.
Why?
Because, like, press and promo is a part of... It's a part of the tournament. It is a part of being a professional athlete. Like, what professional athlete don't do interviews, don't have to talk about the game. Like, is you are not just being paid to do what you do on the court. You are being paid for your image, for your voice, for like your likeness to be you. Like, you being paid for all of that. So I don't think it's unreasonable for them to want to ask you some questions.
I think that Naomi has expressed that I think the entirety of the press conference is an issue for her, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that it would be slightly different if I don't want to speak for the girl, but from how I saw her first press conference being conducted, and if that's your first experience, mm-hmm. and then every experience after that is at that level or even has inappropriate questions along those lines, which all of them female athletes, all of them female tennis players have inappropriate questions, and the environment of their press conferences compared to the men's press conferences are completely different. And so, yes, I am like, no, the entirety of my job is not just to play tennis. Yes, I am supposed to, I have an image to uphold and all this other shit, but my job is not to come in here and to be sexualized. And that's literally the tone of the majority of their press conferences. And if I don't want to do that and subject myself to your questions, and then you see, yes, a lot of the women in the past have complied with their like stupid ass requests to get up, stand up, show us your outfit. What are you wearing? Twirl around, do this. But they are noticeably embarrassed by having to do that. And I think, I mean, the men don't have to do that. One, because, I mean, don't nobody care what they're wearing. But also, like, even if you do care about what she's wearing, look at it on the tennis court when she's playing. That's where she's wearing it to showcase it, right? Like, I think that the tone of their press conferences goes beyond just me showing up to perform my job. They are being subjected to inappropriate questions on a regular. And I think that if they can figure out a way, or even like pressure the reporters who were in those situations to make it a more conducive environment for athletes to be athletes and to talk about the game, then I think that that's a step in the right direction. Do I think that they should get rid of the press conferences? No, but I think that they need to make them more appropriate to the fact that this is an athlete, like who she's dating and all that shit and what she's wearing at this time when you're talking after a game doesn't really matter.
Okay, I mean, I get that. I agree. Like, if I get, yes, the issue of being sexualized, yes, that is an issue. But even speaking to what was said earlier of like, should that be a part of it? Absolutely. I mean, the interviews.
Yeah, the interviews having themselves. Control, yes.
Yes. Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. and speaking to the point of Naomi Osaka specifically having issue with the entirety of doing press. I mean, that's part of your job.
That's true, I do think her taking this step is going to cause a little, you know, some little ruffles and some changes Absolutely. May come from it. That Absolutely. Are beneficial. It's not going to get rid of the press conference, and it shouldn't. But I think that it will make it more amenable to the other athletes who, and maybe she won't do press anymore. Who knows? But I think it'll make it better.
So do we think that press is required from like musicians and actors?
Yes, absolutely. You put out a movie, you go on a press tour.
If they are signed to a label, if they are working for a production company, yes, in their contract, whenever they sign their contract for whatever the thing is that they're doing.
Okay, you're talking more contractual than just this is.
Like but Beyonce she signed now. A contract to enter into. I'm sure she signed something to enter into the French Open. Yeah.
They wouldn't be able to find her if she wasn't under some agreement.
Oh, yes, correct.
Yeah. I understand that. I agree. I think it should. The conversation needs to be had more so from the aspect of, I would think that this promotional stuff is more so from organizations and leagues that didn't have player input. And is they're pimping them in ways and now saying it's a part of your job description. And there should be a conversation of, as an athlete, what say do I have in how I'm going to be interacted with post game and all that, like, and how my likeness is going to be used. And I think what she's doing is going to start that conversation that is needed. Yeah, you still do press because contractually, but what does press look like in a manner that isn't affecting me and impacting me in a negative way?
Because I have a question. So when you all read this, because I thought of this, did you all think about like Summer Walker at all? Because that was like one of the first things that came to mind for me.
Who is Summer Walker? Oh, yeah, the singer girl?
Yeah, the singer.
Who canceled her tour for mental health reasons?
I didn't. She has really bad social anxiety. The aspect of like going to red carpets, doing interviews, being in the press, social media, all of that, like literally gives her so much anxiety. It's like paralyzing. Mm-hmm. But again, like that's part of being an artist. And I look at her and I'm like, her voice is incredible. I love her music. But honestly, I don't see her being in the game that long because.
Yeah, she's not.
This is part of what comes with that. And so you can have a great voice, but if this part is not conducive with who you are as a person, choose yourself. And that may mean you got to walk away from music. I don't see this situation being any different. Yes, Naomi Osaka can be the best tennis player in the world right now, but this is part of your job. And if that part is not conducive for who you are as a person, it is not the best choice for you holistically. Either pay your $15K every tournament, or this might not be for you because this is a part of it.
Yeah, which I mean, I think with Summer Walker, she clearly can't pay a fine. She don't promo nobody being her stuff, but with Naomi, she may just get to a place where she's like, I'm gonna just pay this fine and play the tournament and that'll be it. I'm interested to know how that'll negatively impact her partnerships and all that, because you still have to do press even if you have partnership, which is the bulk of your money. So I don't know what that looks like. I honestly just think I think baby girl is just burnt out. And maybe some time of rest and learning how to manage her introversion and her social anxiety. Maybe she'll get to a place where it's manageable. Because I agree, like, you're number two in tennis. Like, you can't just disengage completely. Like, I can understand you being in public and being like, okay, I don't want to do signatures and stuff, but like, yeah, you got to figure out, she has to figure that out. But yeah
and I mean I think the way that the press conferences are set up right now, that ain't part of their job. Like, they got to figure out a way to get that together to make it more conducive to people being able to comply with that part of the job, the press part, the media part, the personality part, right? But still be respectful of who this person is and, you know, the fact that they are an athlete. And at this time, I'm here to talk about my job, which is tennis. I'm not here to talk about who I'm dating and all the unnecessary shit. That's not what this time is for.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to catch me on that? Catch me when TMZ catch me at the airport or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was a spirited little conversation we had there. Okay, so I can go next. I think mine is going to be really short. But so have you all seen that, like, the New York City Pride Parade, which New York City has one of the largest Pride Parades. Like, mm-hmm. I know San Francisco is, like, massively, insanely huge. Miami is, like, out of control insane. And then I would say, like, New York is probably up there next.
If not.
Behind those.
Yeah.
So they have made the decision that the New York City Police Department is banned from their events until 2025.
What?
They said, and I quote, "The sense of safety that law enforcement is meant to provide can instead be threatening and at times dangerous to those in our community who are most often targeted with excessive force and or without reason." I was like, wow.
Wow. You can do that?
One, that's a bold move.
Yeah.
Two, like, I'm very interested to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Like, the police just not going to be there? Like, you can do that?
I was just thinking. How can they do that? Is it through a private organization or something? Like, how does...
Well, they are a private organization.
But how they're do you like ban
a
non the...
I think a nonprofit. I don't know.
You can ban the cops from a public event like that though?
Apparently so.
I thought certain once you had a certain number of people
you
are required to have police presence. I don't know what kind of loophole they done found or what they doing, but they said nah, y'all can't come. And not just this year, and we'll see how it goes, but through 2025.
Wow.
Is this like a request or this is like going to happen?
She said ban.
That's what CNN said they was banned. Now, I don't.
Wow. I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah.
But listen, shout out to them. If this is possible, shout out to y'all. Right? Cause wow, like what a move. And this is an example of what I was talking about last episode when I was talking about allyship, like, or reaching back for the mind, like, one, yes, like the LGBT community, LGBTQ community does experience like ridiculous like over policing from the police officers as well, like 100%. But even within that community you have Black people who are also over policed, and you know, other minority groups who are over policed. So shout out to them for taking a stand and being like, nah, like wow, yeah. That's crazy.
How do you even think of that? Like, we're gonna ban the cops. Like, what? That's a thing?
They need to do a little course or something to help us.
I have concern.
I'm about to say, that seems kind of dangerous.
That's, again, we started off with talking about how large this event is.
Yeah.
Like, on a national scale, one of the largest. How do you control that many people?
And especially because even if you hire like private security, right, which they can do,
who can afford that?
But they probably, I mean, maybe not as much as they need on the police scale force, but like, yeah, they got money. I'm certain of that. But even if they can hire tons of private security does not have the authority the same way that police officers do. Yeah. So that's gonna be interesting. I hope it goes well. Like, I really do.
If it turns into a riot,
I just looked it up. So as of June 2019, NYC's Pride March is consistently North America's biggest Pride parade.
I thought it was the largest. That's where it started.
Yeah, it started in NYC. I thought
it was the biggest.
No, but they have on average about 2 million.
Two million people.
Yeah, I don't. I agree with you, Dre. I'm nervous about that. 2 million people is a lot of people to not be.
That's a lot of people
policed in some manner. Like, ain't no amount of private security can. Cause what? Like, yeah, yeah.
You would need a private army.
Yeah, literally.
I'm interested to know what measures they're going to take, because I'm hoping they're taking measures. I'm hoping they're just not saying the cops ain't showing up and we just going to be out here, because the cops, they get targeted by non-police enforcement. So it ain't nothing for somebody crazy to come driving through the parade in the name of, we don't like this community. So
so we shall see. And then I wonder if they have any, I mean, it's outside, but I wonder if they have any COVID restrictions as far as number of people that will be in attendance anyway.
Doubt it.
I mean, New York.
New York ain't playing. Though. Yeah, they ain't playing.
They've loosened up, I think.
They loosened up a bit.
I mean, they've loosened up some, but they're still not like, I still don't think that they're like other places where you can have 2 million people standing on the street.
They might. I don't know how they're going to get rid of 2 million people, though. Yeah. I mean.
Well, that's true. Especially without no police. I don't know.
Wow, that's crazy, though.
Okay. Well, I'll go next. I just have one little news article here that I thought was interesting. So there was a judge who swore in this guy as a lawyer. He was the same guy who he pled guilty to in a courtroom 16 years ago. So Edward Martell was sworn in to the State Bar of Michigan by Judge Bruce Morrow. In that same courtroom 16 years earlier, he stood in front of the same judge and pleaded guilty to selling and manufacturing crack cocaine. So Morrow, the judge, gave him a 3-year probation sentence and words of encouragement that he said changed his life. He said, you don't have to be out here selling drugs. You have greatness within you. And I challenge you to work harder, be the CEO of a company. And Martell told CNN that the two became friends. And now Morrow considers him a son. So instead of sending that man to jail like everybody else to sell crack cocaine and gave him 15-year sentences, he gave him a 3-year probation period. And he actually changed his life around and became a lawyer and was sworn in 16 years later. So I thought that was awesome. One of the few moments of
what year was it? 2005. It wasn't. He had no mandatory minimum sentence.
That ain't what the article say.
Everybody else would be like, "Wow, that's such a lovely story." Dre, like, "Nah, what? What?"
And they're like, "Nah, he's
no,
crack,
no,
baby.
Like that's literally one of the reasons of because of mass incarceration." Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because people who are found in possession of crack cocaine, especially if you say he was cooking it and he was selling it, mandatory minimums take away a judge's ability to use discretion. Yeah. Discretion to be able to say, I'm going to give you probation so that you can become a lawyer. How many black people sitting in jail for however long, 3 strikes, some of people in there for the rest of their life, because a judge did not have the ability to use that type of discretion to give them another chance. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
that's true.
I just found that very interesting.
But I don't know, yeah, like how
2005
old he was.
Is pretty.
Yeah. Pretty late.
Yeah, that's real late. Yeah. I don't know the logistics. Mm-hmm. But hey.
What state were they in?
Michigan.
Yeah, because that sounds a little fishy to me. Because he was white, wasn't he? I saw the photo.
Huh?
Wait, the dude that got sworn in as an attorney
was
white?
He was white. He was white.
Oh, shut up. Now I'm pissed off. I did not know that.
It wasn't a black man?
No, it wasn't a black man.
He was white. Well, based on the photo I saw, he looked white.
He was white.
Wow, that completely changes.
Girl, I was over here all heartfelt and
That's why I'm like, we were in jail and you done became a lawyer.
Where the mandatory minimum at, sis? Where is that? Hell no, that nigga still supposed to be in jail.
Wow. Shit.
That just pissed me off.
Especially for crack cocaine specifically.
Crack cocaine, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. Yeah. What?
Wow. Okay. That changed. Yeah, Camille, you should have led with that, sis.
Put that in the description.
My bad, y'all. I just...
Right. Got us over here all deceived. Now we upset.
Shit.
Oh, man.
Cookies,
well, She's real bad. I would say that I'm gonna make it better, but I don't think I am. All right, well, first let's do something a little lighter, then we'll ease back into potential upset. So I saw this TikTok video. I'm not on TikTok, so I saw it on Instagram. I saw this Instagram TikTok video that had, it was this girl reacting to a video of a picture of a graduation announcement. And it was a white girl. And in the picture, the white girl had, you know, like those graduation pictures that they're doing all the different things they participate in campus. So like Greek life, if you're on SGA or whatever. So the girl has her stole on in one picture. She has, she's throwing up the Delta Sigma Theta sign in another picture because she crossed Delta. And she's like posing, like doing their little Greek pose. So the girl's response to the video was, she was pissed. She was just like, I hate seeing stuff like this and black people defending white folks who go to HBCUs and pledge Greek and are taking up space in a space that's supposed to be a safe place for black people. Like, you're coming and you're basically invading our space, taking over our organizations that was meant for us because you want to be a part of everything. So I watched the video and I was like, man, she's really like upset about this. Like, I wonder if other people feel that way. And I go in the comment section and I was shocked to find out darn near everybody, even the people that were like, well, you're a little upset, but I understand. I was like, what? So I want to bring it to y'all because I was shocked at how upset she was and her stance behind why she was upset. Like, what are your thoughts? Like, if you saw that picture of that girl, white, HBCU, that's the background, she got her stole on, she's throwing up the Delta Sigma Theta sign and doing the little poses, what would your reaction be to that, if there was any at all?
My first one would be like, oh, that's a white girl, she just crossed Delta. Damn. Okay, well, and then I probably keep scrolling. But I will say, I do understand. I wouldn't be mad, but I understand her anger. Like, yes, these organizations were founded because, well, first, the school that she went to was founded because niggas couldn't go to where college. She could go.
Yeah.
Then two, the organization was founded because one, some of them were founded at the schools that the niggas, the one that was the only school that they can go to. Some of them was founded elsewhere, but they wasn't allowed to join the organizations that she was able to join. Mm-hmm. That number two. Number three, I mean, like, yes, she, I mean, her spot on a line does literally mean that a black person, you know what I mean? Like, ain't on the line. So yes, I 100% understand her anger. Am I as angry? No, but I do think that they should charge double in dues, you know, for reparations sake. But I ain't angry about it, but you know, yes, I understand her frustration.
Not double dues.
I understand. I wholeheartedly agree.
Like, with her anger?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, no. Every time I see it, I feel some type of way. I mean, like, I'm probably not angry enough to go on a rant online, but no, I definitely feel, at least to some degree, the same way. Well, I have not seen this video.
Yeah.
But based on how it was just described to me, I, to some degree, feel the same way she does. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. And this is specifically to white people in Divine Nine.
It's to non-black people in Divine Nine. You don't just got to be white.
Huh. Okay. Kavu?
Yeah, I know, I wholeheartedly agree. White folks, you got your own stuff. You got your own. Go Kappa Delta Ick. Delta Omega.
But she went to an HBCU.
So, okay, that was her choice.
If she goes to HBCU, if a white person goes to HBCU, don't join any Greek orgs. Like, just sit.
It's about 35 different service communities.
She was trying to start her little chapter with
her joining is not required for her degree. So I mean, she got to go. There's nine of them. We have nine. Like, why? We have nine. Why are you picking one of the nine? I don't understand. Just, you know,
She said she wanted to be down for the cause, man.
But there are,
and not to mention, speaking of causes, I mean, those organizations were fighting against yo people to even be able to do something. Mm-hmm. So why? I mean, I said I wasn't angry, but clearly I'm getting a little worked up. But I wouldn't have been angry if I just saw the picture. But I mean, yeah, and talking about it, yeah, I guess I don't like it.
Yeah,
but,
you feel some kind of way. Yeah, I was confused, but I mean, culturally, like, Greek orgs was not, outside of, like, college, I had no context for it. I didn't understand it. I had a sneak peek into high school, but I remember being like, what are you doing? Why would you do all that for this org? So I didn't have the same visceral reaction that she did, but I was like, I want to hear the girl's reaction because this is outside of my context. But that's very interesting.
She Greek?
I don't think so. And to be honest with you, she doesn't look like a Black American. She looks African. Hmm. Like, she looks like she's maybe like Ethiopian or Somalian. But yeah, she was very passionate in her response. And that's surprising that you guys kind of have the same sentiments at that level. But yeah, well, that's, I'm gonna leave that there. I ain't gonna do my other piece. That's all I got.
All right, well, that's all we got for you guys this week. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.